These are the memories of Gladys Marie Walker Klein. I remember the day that I was born. No, not really. But here are some memories and statistics. When I arrived in this great world on September 12, 1900, I was welcomed by my loving parents, Bird and Etta Walker, two sisters, Vera, age 7 1/2, Wanda, age 5, and one brother, Claire, age 2 1/2. I was born on a farm about 6 or 7 miles northwest of Abingdon in Floyd Township in Warren County, and we lived there about 6 months until we moved to another farm about 7 miles southwest of Abingdon of 160 acres. This farm had been given to my mother and her sister, Alta or Lena, by their father, Isom Robertson. My dad bought my aunt's share, and this was the only home I ever remembered until I was 17, when we moved to Abingdon. The house was an old style. All early remembrances of this home were very happy ones, as we knew we were loved and cared for. Later, two other sisters were born, Bernice in May 1902 and Doris in 1905. There was always something going on at our house, as we had a great deal of company, relatives, and friends. Mama had three sisters living in Abingdon who had children who loved to come to the farm. In the summer, especially, one or two of them were with us most of the time. We roamed the woods, played in the little stream at the foot of the hill north of our home, and will always remember those times. One of our favorite pastimes on a hot summer day was to put on some of Claire's old worn-out overalls, our swimsuits, and go down to the little slough, as we called it, and dam it up so that it was ankle deep or more. Then we would sit in it and splash as though we had a real swimming hole. Such scurrying as we used, sticks, logs, rocks, mud, and grass to stop any leaks. After it gathered back so far, enough pressure built up to wash out our feeble dam. There was always a supply of material left to start the next one. One innovation at a certain inclined bank was to throw water up on it and then slide into the water with a splash. The story is told, though I can't remember doing so, was that we girls took off those heavy, wet overalls, we'd never had bathing suits, and did our sliding in the raw. We got terribly sunburned, and after we went up the hill and got our old muddy overalls rinsed out, that was required, we told Mama of our pain. She put home remedies on us, heavy cream, and tried vinegar, but we still felt on fire. It so happened that the Raleigh man, a traveling man carrying and selling all sorts of things for man and beast, stopped by to sell everything he could. Our mother told him she needed something for sunburn, and he promised her that he had a sure cure. It cooled and soothed as nothing had been done before for us, and from then on we were believers in the Raleigh salve that came in a large blue metal box. Also traveling through the country were peddlers with a pack on their backs selling dress materials, combs, lace, pins. Sometimes they would give us children a stick of gum if our parents bought some of their wares, and we always wanted them to buy. Another salesman in the summer was the man with ice from Abingdon. He started early in the morning and stopped at each home to see if ice was desired. It was fun to stick our feet under the dripping wagon, and we always got some free chips to melt in our mouth when he cut the size for our icebox. That was truly a luxury for people living 7 miles from town to have the ice brought to our door. It cost about 35 or 40 cents for 100 pounds. The chunk fit tightly in the metal-lined compartment of the icebox and was usually wrapped in newspaper to delay the melting. One winter, we had a sawmill move in at the bottom of our hill to clear it of the largest trees and convert them to lumber. That was a lot of fun for us kids to go down and watch the process after school. The lumber was stacked in piles of different length and width, and the smell of that sawdust and of the steam engine that furnished the power will always be remembered. It was fun climbing over the piles of logs and lumber, and exciting to hear the bite and whine of the saw blade as it struck the logs. Later, our father built farm buildings of this lumber, also gates for the fences. The sawdust was used, too, to line the double walls of the ice house that was erected at the north side of the chicken house. The rougher boards were used for the double walls, and these were filled with sawdust to keep the ice that was stored in this building from melting. The putting up of ice was usually done in January, very often the coldest month of the year. When Cedar Creek was frozen to its thickest depth, the ice was sawed into squares and hauled by sled to the ice house. Neighbors helped each other with this cold and hard task. Our father changed help with Frank Purdy, who lived a little over a mile east from us and who lived nearby on the banks of Cedar Creek. Not only was work exchanged with this chore, but it was also the custom for the men to help each other at haymaking and at threshing time. Mixed feelings come as I think of those times. Sometimes the children of the men helping hay would come to play, but as we got older, Bernice and I were pressed into service. We were the hay loader drivers and the hay horse drivers, and to this day, I'll never think it was fun. Driving the team to the hay rack while the loader poured the hay onto the rack for the men to distribute till you got a load wasn't too bad, but oh, that hay horse biz, oh me. We took turns at the two jobs, which broke the monotony. An older gentle horse was used to pull the hay fork of hay up into the barn loft via ropes and pulley. Our job was to lead the horse the distance needed to get the fork full up from the rack to the big window or door and on to the track to the section you were filling. How I disliked that job. You led the horse along hoping it wouldn't step on you or balk. The weather was usually hot and your trek was in the sun and it was just no fun. One hot day, while we rested a while, Mama made some lemonade and I must have drunk too much, for pretty soon I didn't feel pretty good. And oh me, a waste of lemonade, and I haven't cared much for it ever since. Threshing time was more fun and our help was more of helping Mama with little chores and taking fresh water to the thresher men at the machine and in the field every hour or less. We had means of doing this, either with the pony buggy, and three or four could go if we did because the stone jugs full of fresh water, or on the ponies. If we did this, we had a rope tied to the handle of the jug and carried looped over the saddle horn. We usually knew most of the men, and they liked to tease and joke. Now I can see why Mama wasn't so anxious for threshing time to come, for it meant a heap of work. First, the machines came. The big steam engines pulling the grain separator and the water wagon. That required a crew of three men and sometimes four. One ran the engine, and it was so thrilling to hear him blow the whistle as he came up the lane west of the house. Another took care of the separator, oiling, fixing belts, etc. And the man on the water wagon had quite a job to keep the water supplied for the engine. He would sometimes have to go to the nearest creek and by hand force pump that water into the tank. So the crew would come, usually the night before they would be threshing the next day, and places for three or four men to sleep must be found. Since Claire had a room by himself, he was usually transferred to some other spot for the duration. He didn't like this, and one time he told us younger sisters he wasn't going to move out, and went up to the stairs. We tattletales went to find our mother to tell of Claire's decision. She had two of the men earlier She had told two of the men earlier that they were to have the room at the top of the stairs, Claire's, and then busied herself at some task for next day's dinner. In the meantime, Claire had decided to go to his next bed, and the men had moved in. So when Mama got the word, she hurried up, in the darkness, and into the bedroom to seize and shake Claire's arm, she thought, and said, "What's the meaning of this?" The startled crewman wanted to know what was wrong, and Mama realized what had happened, and the kidding she took from this mistake was endless. Usually, two or three of the neighbor ladies would come bringing their children to help fix a dinner for the threshers, and at that time I thought it great fun, but now I realize it wasn't for the mothers. The table was stretched out to seat 12 or 14 men, and if the second table wasn't quite filled out, then the young kids got to eat at their table, and cooks made the third. With no refrigerators and mostly wood and coal ranges to work on, it was no picnic to get a meal ready for about 30 people. Though we all had our chores to do, we had ample time for fun and had ponies to ride. The two that were our favorites were Buck and Blixen, medium-sized Indian ponies. We grew up with them, and they willingly carried us many miles, about the farm, to school, to the neighbors to play, and we sometimes rode them to Abingdon for the day to visit at Aunt Lena's, or to attend Sunday school at the Christian church. We also drove them to a double carriage, minus a top with fringe, but a neat little rig that Dad bought with double harness just to fit to the two. All of us will always have a special feeling for those two ponies, as long as we have memory. Our winter transportation to school was furnished by them, or one of them. Papa made a long sled that would seat four people and engineered it to be able to hook a pony to it to pull us on the snow. When there was no snow or it was too cold, he always took us to school and came for us. The same for rainy days. Otherwise, we walked the mile to school and were good walkers, in quotes. After an extra big snow, there would be drifts as high as the trimmed hedge that lined a long strip of the mile-long road to school. Sometimes a crust froze over it, and we walked on top. Our school had three names. First, it was called the Coddington School, for the man who gave the land for the schoolhouse and yard. Later, when we attended there, it was called Pleasant Hill, which was a good name, as it was on top of a hill in a pleasant setting. The last name was Center, and it went by that name until it was discontinued in favor of busing and consolidation. Many happy memories of our grade school days and of our school mates.